this is Lonnie Stark of Stark Silver Creek. Welcome to a special edition of Loretto Live. This is June 11th, 2009, and I'm here joined with Bob Tubman, the administrator for the Loretto Condominium Services. This is an exciting time in Loretto Bay, a lot of news happening around recent developments and the letter from Loretto Bay Company ceasing the operation currently of construction and other services. So I thought it was timely to bring Bob onto this special edition to get his view on site in Loretto Bay. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Lonnie.
So before we start on what's happening with Loretto Bay, can you tell us a little about how you got started with the company and your history with it?
I actually met David Butterfield back in 1999 when I was working for a Canadian REIT, which held a very large real estate portfolio, about half of which was in hotels, primarily in the United States, and I was the asset portfolio. David was interested in investing in the company, and so he spent quite a bit of time with us discussing the portfolio and what we were doing with it. He ended up not investing in the company, and we lost track of each other for a couple of years. Fast forward to 2003, and I was contacted by David and Jim Grogan, who were starting up Loretto Bay Company, and we're looking for someone who could begin working on marketing plans, contracts for property management, for the CC&Rs. They were looking for someone with operational experience, but had experience in startups and working with a diverse range of services, hospitality services that developments require these days, and that fit my background perfectly. At the time, I was working in California, running a very large private country club, living in Arizona, but I was really excited when they described what the vision of Loretto Bay was. I made my first trip down to Loretto in June of 2003, began working as a consultant with Loretto Bay Company while I was finishing out my tenure in California, and then joined the company end of 2003, and have been with positions ever since, primarily in the hospitality end. About 3.5 years ago, the owners at the time asked if I would be interested in moving to Mexico to work in operations down here, and it was at the time a very exciting opportunity to experience Loretto in a different way, because I've been traveling down here regularly, pretty much on a monthly basis. But I had fallen in love with Loretto. I wanted to move, and so this was the right offer at the right time, and I've been living here ever since.
So you've been here since the very beginning. I did want to talk about some of the operations of the condominium services, but since you are down there in Loretto, can you give those of homeowners and others who are interested, what's actually happening in terms of when you walk out onto the street, what are you seeing in terms of the activities happening?
It's pretty quiet. Obviously, there's no construction activity. The staff is still at the hotel, but they'll be leaving tomorrow. And then following that, there's just a gradual complete shutdown, moving virtually from south to north, including the golf course, the construction offices, and the various offices, and that'll happen through the rest of this month. There's obviously, because there are people who don't have a lot to do, there's a lot of people talking, a lot of people kind of saying goodbyes. It's really very sad for many of us who've seen this thing and been committed to it, to see people who are leaving Loretto, going back to their hometowns and other parts of Mexico. So it's emotional. I mean, in our office, we're having a lot of homeowners come by who are visiting here and asking us what's going on. We're getting great support from homeowners who are thanking us for keeping things going during these difficult times. So a lot of contractors are closing up shop, and they're coming by and saying goodbye and, wondering what's going to happen next. So it's more like, in many respects, a farewell than it is a just the fact that we're not building or we're not operating hospitality, kind of in the back of everyone's mind, of course. But, you know, people have made a lot of close friends over the last few years on this project. We've been fighting a tough battle, and it's really hard to drift off for everybody.
I do know that there's been quite a bit of dialogue on Stark Silver Creek with a lot of support around the project, and as well some critics as well. What are you doing as part of Loretto Bay Condominium Services right now in order to prepare for this on your end?
Well, we're in an unusual position in that the master condominium regime and the sub-regimes, both in Founders and Agua Viva, exist independent of ownership and whoever currently owns the company and whoever might own the company in the future. Loretto Condominium Services was a Loretto Bay company entity that was created to manage the regimes. So that entity is going away. So my day is full of really two things. One is managing the current affairs of the regimes through Loretto Condominium Services to ensure that the homeowners are continuing to get waste pickup, to get security services, to get landscape maintenance, to get all the services that the regimes were created to manage, and that those continue to be of a high quality of service. The agreements with these contractors are to perform a certain service, and we're still focused on making sure that that happens, even while everything else around us is changing. We still have roles to play in running the regimes, and we're focused on that. But the second part of my day is transitioning all the management and administrative services of the regimes to a new company, because Loretto Condominium Services is going to cease to exist very quickly.
When you say quickly, can you give an estimate as to when? Is it aligned with the timing of the shutdown of Loretto Bay Company?
Yes. So, interestingly, in the CC&Rs, this exact situation is not anticipated. So there is no clear either case law or rules and regulations in the CC&Rs that dictate how this change is supposed to happen. So I'm working with the committees and the common representatives to the master to implement a plan which we're having the committees ratify to put in place an interim administrator and management company pending a official vote of ownership, which will take place at the annual meetings when they're conducted in January and February, which will ratify the decisions of the committees and put in place on a longer-term basis the manager and administrator, or should they decide to make another change, then, of course, that would be up to them. But we might manage to the best of our ability so that we continue to get the job done for ownership. Again, that's almost a full-time job on its own, getting that in place, because all the records, all the bank accounts, everything has to be transitioned to the new company.
Okay, so that's a good point you brought up. Can you sort of describe, at least when you're setting up this new company, what's the structure of that company? Is it going to be owned by homeowners, by you, by, you know, how is it structured?
No, it's structured to be a third-party management company that would provide condo regime management services, much like LCS was, or much like most homeowner associations or condo regimes are down here. They hire expertise in the form of a third-party company to perform the management services, and the management company accepts that responsibility, the authority, and any liabilities associated with that. So this company is being formed. We do not have the legal structure complete, so I'm really hesitant to say that this is what it is until it's final. But it's basically being headed by two partners, myself and Rodolfo Guerrero, who is the current head of property management and is also forming his own company to perform property management services to homeowners.
And when you say transfer, you mentioned, sir, the information transfer between LCS and this new entity. Are there any other assets being transferred over. Is this considered, what is the sort of legal term of the transfer? Is it a purchase or is it just a movement of business from one to the other? Or
yeah, it's really a movement of business from one to the other. The rights and authorities associated with the administrator of a condo regime is specifically spelled out in our CC&Rs, because they can vary from CC&Rs to CC&Rs, but ours are covered in detail. Those can be added to by ownership, they can be subtracted by ownership, but they currently exist until they're changed. Any assets of Loretto Condominium Services, such as computers, such as security vehicles and that type of thing, were under discussion with ownership of Loretto Bay to purchase. So that's kind of a separate transaction. In terms of the people, which is the most important asset, our intention is to hire everyone who's currently in condominium services to perform the same functions with the new company. We think that they're doing a great job. They've shown great willingness to learn and change, to account for different standards of performance and different ways of doing things. And, they're our team for the future.
How are Loretto Bay homeowners involved in this process, or are they?
I get a tremendous amount of email. And people call, people stop by. I listen and respond to everything everyone asks in terms of questions they have. In terms of the actual transfer, they, in the course of the annual meetings that were held in April, appointed committees and common representatives to the master to represent them. And those are the people who I'm working with to affect this transition, because we really don't have a lot of time. I mean, LCS is going to shut down, and we have to accomplish this in just a very, very short period. If there was no clock ticking and we had a time for a more orderly transition as spelled out in the CC&Rs, we would, at an annual meeting or at an extraordinary meeting, go through an election and ratification of the new administrator, which requires 90%, and the current CC&Rs requires a 90% vote of ownership. So that's very difficult, because it involves a lot of proxy work again. It involves having virtually all the owners represent. And the last time we did this for the annual meetings, it took us about 2 to 3 months to organize the votes for the sub-regime meetings. It'll take at least that long to do again, and we don't have that amount of time. So we've sought outside legal advice as to what to do, because, again, this is not anticipated, and we're following legal counsel's advice as to how we execute this. And so far, the representatives to the master are, I don't want to speak for them, but they're unanimously in agreement of what we've put in place as to how best to accomplish this.
To understand the actual Loretto Bay condominium services being transferred to this new company, as condo regimes, are those separate entities? And basically, in this case, the condo regime would be hiring the new company to take care of the condo regime management?
Correct. It's a little more complicated than that, because you have really, at the current time, there's 8 sub-regimes and then the master. So each of them, each of those have to hire the new administrator.
You spoke about the proxy process. We're going through that now with the Agua Viva homes. The date for the actual meeting is set for August 10th. What are the recommendations that you would give to homeowners about key learnings from the founder's experience?
We did learn a lot. I mean, the information that we distributed from our office when we set the meeting date, which was just a couple days ago, had the benefit of having all the questions that we got from founders and the answers to those contained in the information we sent out. Having said that, the best thing that I can recommend is people in each of the Agua Viva sub-regimes who have kind of stepped up and expressed an interest in organizing communication within those sub-regimes. So they're going to take on communicating and helping organize the proxy process. At the same time, our office is always willing and able and happy to answer questions from owners who have questions on proxies, because there's a lot of unanticipated situations that require a decision to be made, and we've been through most of them, and we expect a lot of them will come up again. They happen to do with LLCs and the forms of ownership of the property and however they have that structured. We've got most of those answers as long as people just ask us or provide us with the documentation. We tell them what to do. We're hoping to get the process started earlier. Obviously, there's 2 months, and the sooner we get paperwork in, we can look it over, and if there's anything that has to be changed, we can get back to people. But we're in much better shape than we were for Founders.
I noticed that the email that came out for that was from Laredo Bay Condos Services. By August 10th,
yes.
Is there a chance that that will be no more and it'll be actually the new management service?
It will definitely be the new management company well before that.
Will that require a change to the proxy, or have you already factored those things in?
Yeah, it doesn't require a change in the proxy. We have a new company in place. We're going to be sending out a lot of information because there's a lot that does have to change. Just an example would be credit card authorizations for payment of assessments now need to have the new company's name on it. Anything where there's legal documentation that needs to be updated, we'll be asking people to send us the correct forms with signatures. So we know we have to do that. We just kind of second on our list after getting the authorities transferred.
I noticed that one of the other things is there's going to be billing starting in Agua Viva starting July 1st. The bills will be, my understanding, sent out. Does that still go to Laredo Bay Condo Services? And what are methods for sending that in? I would imagine homeowners would be concerned about sending just a credit card authorization to a company that's going to be quickly shut down.
Yeah, actually, I sent out a separate letter to Agua Viva owners. It'll be going out later today. It spells out the process for what has to happen before July 1st. It tells them what their assessments are, and we are actually able to reduce them from the assessments that we had previously published because we're sensitive to the fact that now they're being asked to pay for this, and so we're trying to be really wary of charging just the least possible to continue the operation and their needs. We will be sending in the next week a new credit card authorization form with the new company because, again, that does need to be transferred.
TSD Laredo, the owner essentially of the Laredo Bay company, is still responsible for the assessments for certain lots. What's sort of the probability that they'll actually pay them?
Well, they've agreed to pay them. They're legally required to pay them, and I'm not an attorney,
sure.
So I'm always cautious when I, say something that implies that there's that I have direct legal knowledge. But from everything I understand, they're subject to the same requirements as any other homeowner, and a bankruptcy. There's no form of relief from assessments, so should the developer fall delinquent, we would take the same steps as we would against any other lot owner and start the legal process of attaching the property and eventually foreclosing on it.
Okay. And so far they're current on those?
Yes.
Based on your experience, obviously you've had 6 years of experience with Laredo Bay. For the homeowners that are currently going through this process, whether in Founders or in Agua Viva, are there any insights or advice you would give?
I have people going through all different types of situations. For many people in Founders, it's very different than for the people in Agua Viva who have partially completed homes, no common areas, and face a lot more challenges with infrastructure.
I would say the Agua Viva, for those that have their homes partially completed, I think with the Founders, it's more, you've addressed a lot of those through the condo services and things such as that.
Correct. Well, there's a couple things in Agua Viva. First and foremost, we're continuing to provide security services to Agua Viva. When we started the assessment process a few months ago and the developer stepped in assessments, one of the most critical aspects of that was providing security. So obviously with the contractors leaving Agua Viva, we have a fairly large piece of property that we're responsible for securing, both the buildings, the infrastructure, and the contents. We've kind of expanded our authority outside of just the strict limits of the common areas, because we just want to make sure we do everything possible to make to ensure that the owner's investments are protected over there. There is a third-party security company that PSD and Alvarez and Marsal has brought in to secure their assets, and we're working closely with them in Agua Viva because they're charged with protecting the convention center and the road access in and out. So both security departments had a meeting yesterday, and we'll continue to work on owner's behalf and making sure that we have no issues. And please understand, we've had no security issues to date. I mean, this is, everything is quiet, everything is calm, and we're hoping that it continues that way through this entire shutdown process. Following, you know, stabilization of that situation, we really, we're going to be communicating with Agua Viva owners, and our interest is in seeing the common areas completed on their behalf, though strictly speaking, we don't have authority over the common areas until they're completed in the condo regime. Common areas is tied to their purchase-sale contract with the developer. But we want to assist people in any way possible, both in terms of just communication and in terms of trying to figure out a creative way to get their homes finished and the common areas completed so that they can enjoy their investment. Once we have more people moving in, and we do already have a couple people living over there, though they're kind of coming and going, then we'll begin providing other services like trash pickup and required services so that they can do the best with what they have. Once the common areas go in, of course, then it becomes completely different, and we'll assume the landscaping, the full authority of the regime maintenance.
There's been a lot of lively discussion. In fact, the post on Stark Silver Creek about this incident with Laredo Bay seizing operation has probably gotten the most number of comments. There have been some criticism of the work that you've done over your course in Laredo Bay. How would you respond to your critics?
I don't really read those, mainly because I'm so busy. But I don't know what people are criticizing, so I don't really quite know what to respond to. In my area, the company that I've been had responsibility for, I'm extremely proud of the work that myself and the teams who performed. I don't have anything to, sure, there's obviously things, decisions you might make differently, different people you might hire, you know, things you would change in hindsight, but I think the areas, for 2 years I ran sales and marketing for the company. Many people don't know that Shane Jessup and Deborah Stevens, when she was director of marketing, both reported to me. And then need to ownership. I worked very closely with them. I was never keen on being in the limelight, but, you know, we worked as a team to sell and to market Laredo Bay during the height of its success in sales. I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of what we accomplished at the hotel. I'm proud of the programs we put in place, like the long-term rental program and the property management program. And I'm especially proud of the job we've done in the 3 months I've been in the condo regime, so not working for Laredo Bay, working for the homeowners. I mean, my experience with Laredo Bay, though, it's been among the most challenging in my life in terms of trying to get to a stabilized point, has probably been the highlight of my career. Scott Montell and I brought the Alaska Airlines to Laredo after, you know, 6 months of negotiations with that group. There's a lot of good things that far outweigh any of what I might have changed in.
You brought up Alaska Airlines. Are there any concerns currently of whether they'll continue flights? They are the only airline that's currently flying into Laredo from the U.S.
Yeah, well, I have not, because since I moved over to condo regimes, I've been really out of that loop with Alaska and that aspect of the business. But yeah, I'm personally very concerned. This is typically the time of the year when they would cut back anyway. That's typical in Mexico, and Alaska typically cuts back. Last year, I believe it was one flight per week. But these are tough times for tourism in Mexico, and the country's just starting to recover, and the marketing effort of Laredo is really centered around the marketing efforts of Laredo Bay Company. So I'm hopeful that flights will continue. As part of the Laredo Visitors Bureau, along with Jim Spano, who I know you interviewed, we were very close to agreement with Aeromexico to start flights from San Diego and Mexico City to Laredo. That's not off the table, but it's been postponed till later this year at the earliest. Laredo will come back, and hopefully Laredo Bay, too, will come back under new ownership. But obviously having airlift is a critical.
Definitely. I think that was something emphasized in our interview with Jim Spano as well. And I think all the homeowners and people in Laredo have identified that without the airlift, that could be a further serious blow to Laredo as a tourist destination. You mentioned that the whole sort of start of your relationship with Laredo Bay started with your interactions with David Butterfield. Have you been still in contact with him?
Occasionally, when he's down in Laredo, we run into each other and we have a chance to talk. I have not spoken to him or talked to him in quite a few months. So I don't really know what he's up to, and he hasn't spoken to me about what's taking place down here now.
You mentioned the last question I wanted to sort of pose to you. There's been a lot of speculation that's not completely over with Laredo Bay, still rumors of potential buyers. What do you think of this? Do you think it's just wishful thinking at this point, unrealistic sort of naive thinking, or do you think that there's still something in the works?
Well, I know enough to make me dangerous, but I definitely think there's some potential for a sale to come out of this. The same parties who have been interested are still interested. I think there's additional interest that's come forward. It's just a question of working through the complications of understanding a project this large that's found itself in this position. But ultimately, I'm confident the project will sell, and hopefully under new ownership will, you know, be reborn and be successful. I really think it's going to happen. It's not wishful thinking. I really do believe that. I just think that these are obviously challenging economic times, and sources of capital aren't as plentiful as they were in the past, but there are people out there with money, and Laredo is still a very attractive investment that hasn't gone away. And anyone I've ever toured in the last 6 years on this project, and I've toured developers from all over the world, significant resort development projects, and there's no one to a person who has not been incredibly impressed with the Laredo Bay development. So this is an opportunity now for someone, and it's just a question of when and who.
I said that was my last question. I was mistaken. Let's just say someone comes along and buys Laredo Bay Company. We have now condo services taken into a new company. We have potentially, you know, homeowners are looking for other sort of places to get their homes finished and constructed. Would that be a point that would be too late for it to be attractive, or how do these different complex elements, you know, play out?
It really depends on the specific area that you're talking about. In terms of the condo regimes and condo services, it was always anticipated in the CC&Rs that could change. This wasn't anything that was required to be the developer. It was only the developer naming the initial administrator, because somebody had to do that, and the developer obviously had an interest in making sure that this was done correctly. So that really won't change anything in terms of new owner. It's, we'll work closely with the new owner, but we'll be representing ownership and trying to make sure that the owner's interests with any new owner are aligned and that the owner's voice is heard. In terms of other enterprises, obviously out of closing down of the operation, there's business opportunities for people, and I know that there's people who are taking advantage of that or trying to take advantage of that, and you know, I hope they're successful, because my hope is that with all these people losing, that there will be opportunities to join up with new companies, whether it's with condominium services or any other new service companies, to keep people working so that people can stay in Loretto and, you know, support their families and, you know, have a life that they enjoy living here. In terms of construction, you know, hopefully the same thing. At some point, you know, people will have to decide whether they want to go with a new company or take advantage of a new developer services that they might offer in terms of construction services. We do have, to be clear, though, in terms of, like, custom homes, we have custom home construction continuing with third-party contractors and architects. So it's not like everything has stopped. Those contracts were outside of Loretto Bay contracts, and those houses are being worked on as we speak.
That's a good sign. I mean, custom homes, I think, are a key anchor to the community. What's been the reaction by the people in the actual town of Loretto?
Well, I live in the town. I don't live in Opala, in Loretto Bay. So I'm in the middle of that. I think even though everyone knew Loretto Bay was having trouble, I mean, construction was down, obviously, employment was down, and you could see the spend in town was down. Visitors coming in, fewer people spending money on entertaining clients and that type of thing. And the town was already suffering from the lack of business due to swine flu and, you know, the economy. This obviously came as a surprise, and I think people are in a little bit of shock that a project that's this big and put so many people to work is now, you know, being closed down, even if only temporarily. Everything's changed in town. I mean, in many days of the week, businesses aren't open now, operating under reduced hours. When you go in restaurants, you know, they're half the number of people that were there before. So people are concerned. I mean, people are concerned about their businesses. We're seeing some businesses go out of business. Certainly the pace of opening new businesses or renovating businesses is virtually ground to a halt. There's been a lot of press in Sud Californiano or in the other newspapers about what's going on, and, you know, so everyone's aware, and everyone's hopeful that things are going to change, but, you know, make no mistake, the impact, even though this is one more major impact, has already been felt with reduction of occupancy and services at virtually all the hotels and restaurants in town. Times are difficult in the town.
Well, we definitely hope that this is temporary and that we'll make it through it and we'll be stronger for it. Bob, I really want to thank you for taking the time to spend with us today on this special edition of Loretto Live.
Well, thank you, Lonnie. I really appreciate the chance to answer your questions. I would just say, in closing, to any homeowners out there, that please, if you have questions, let us know. We'll get back to you. We're going to continue to send out newsletters and information as we receive it. We're really trying to communicate to you everything that's going on that we have responsibility for. And there's, I know, a lot of rumors out there that there's awful things going on in terms of security and, you know, in terms of fear. And I understand the fear part because people are very far away and they're worried about their protection of their homes and their assets. But we're here to make sure that, to the best extent possible, that we're looking out for you. So if you have a question, let us know. We'll get back to you, let you know exactly what the status is and what's going on.
Thanks, Bob. And if you have any updates, we're happy to post them up on Stark Silver Creek as well as Club Loretto Bay. Thank you for your time. This is Lonnie Stark of Stark Silver Creek signing off for another edition of Loretto Live.